Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 65 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff. Sitting alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, I know this time of the year is stressful, so we appreciate you peeling yourself away from the NHL playoffs.
Yes.
To do the show.
We're lucky that there is no San Jose Sharks game tonight. Otherwise, we'd be podcasting on a different night.
Yeah, I actually checked to see if the Sharks played tonight. And when I saw they didn't, I was like, yes, we can do the show.
Yeah, depending on their playoff run, how deep they go, we might have to start alternating nights here.
Yeah, I saw that. Who are they playing in the first round? The Oilers?
Yep, the Edmonton Oilers.
Ooh, Oilers are a good team this year, too.
Yep, but we beat them last night, 3-2.
Well done.
Well, I had nothing to do with it, but thank you.
Your rooting in Tracy, California helped support the Sharks take game one.
Yeah, my rooting game is very, very strong. I bring it.
The best way you can help support this show is head on over to whatamaneuver.net and pick up that Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt. I'm loving this thing. I'm wearing it on casual Friday every Friday.
Every Friday?
Every Friday.
The same shirt?
Yep, same shirt, same sweatshirts.
Sound like those people in Miami that were wearing the same shirt 5 days in a row. Or not Miami, in Orlando.
What people in Orlando?
Well, in the front row, you had a green shirt guy.
Hey, hold on, I'm going to stop you right there. How does this guy always get front row tickets?
Okay, so it's funny you ask, because a buddy of mine looked him up on Twitter, and people were asking him that question, and all he would tell them is that he's involved in real estate and could set his own schedule, so that's how he's able to attend all of the shows, but he did not let on how he's getting tickets.
Yeah, he seems to do this every single show, every pay-per-view, every time you turn on TV, he's like right there, front row, brown fishing hat type thing and green shirt.
Yep, and then you have a squared circle. Lisa Marie Verones, or what was her name in WWE? Victoria?
Yeah.
Her restaurant, that dude that wears her restaurant's t-shirt, which is now closed, by the way. Yeah. But you have that dude wearing her shirt, and it seemed they were wearing the same shirt, unless they brought seven of like the same shirt. They were wearing that same shirt every day in Orlando in that heat and humidity that gave you the flu.
Oh.
Gross. So hopefully you're washing your shirt in between.
I make sure that shirt goes in the wash first. There's also another guy that wears a New York Mets jersey, and he has a kind of a shaved head. I don't know if you've seen him. Very thin.
Well, I know his taste in baseball teams is horrible, but his taste in where he sits at wrestling shows is impeccable.
Yeah, I don't know how these guys always get those seats. That was like a... Who's the guy that looked like Jim Martin from Faith No More?
Yeah, he was at all the ECW shows. And he would sit next to Vlad in the early days of WWF pay-per-views.
Exactly. It's funny how you start to recognize the faces in the crowd.
Exactly. Yeah, and we're kind of getting back to that too with green shirt guy and square circle restaurant guy.
We got to get somebody who sits front row every show to wear our shirt.
Yeah. You know, you pay for the ticket, we'll pay for the shirt.
Yeah, we'll send you a free shirt. Just got to wear it every single show, every pay-per-view, every Raw, every SmackDown, front row.
Exactly. Be cool like Brandon. Wear our shirt front row.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, you can head over to whatamaneuver.net, pick up the sweatshirt, unisex tees, tank tops. You can purchase Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirts for your infants and your toddlers. Remember, you cannot purchase infants or toddlers. Do not misconstrue my words.
Yeah, that is frowned upon. They cannot sell toddlers on that site.
Yes, that's exactly it. You can also follow us on Twitter, YouTube, and Snapchat at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. That helps us out so much. You can email us any questions, comments, wishlists, FullyPosableWFP@gmail.com. That's it.
Yeah, it's so weird not to have the... And Scott, that is... it's so weird not to have that accompany that.
I know, dude. I know. So again, Scott, that's FullyPosableWFP@gmail.com. That's weird. It really is. It's so naked.
Yeah, it's like a empty seat at the dinner table. Very strange.
Yes, exactly. Scott, did you do any toy spotting this past week?
I did, but it was just Walmart looking for the Hasbro throwback Warrior and Taker. And good news and bad news on that front. Shannon went to Walmart on, I want to say it was Monday or Tuesday. They had The Undertaker on the peg. And she called me and she was like, hey, which Hasbro throwback were you looking for? And I said, Ultimate Warrior and Undertaker. She goes, okay, they have Undertaker. I'm like, oh, crap, no Warrior? I was like, okay, that's cool. Can you pick up Undertaker for me? She goes, yeah, let me grab it. She went to pick it up off of the peg, and the left side of the bubble was detaching from the card. It was like either somebody had tried to open it or the adhesive failed, and so the bubble was coming away from the card. And she goes, it's damaged. I was like, just put it back.
Oh.
Yeah, so we checked. Go ahead.
So you actually had the spot of Taker and Warrior out here.
Yeah, and in fact, I went back to Walmart either the last night or the night before, and Undertaker was still sitting on the peg. So I got to see him out in the wild, but it was the same one that had the detached bubble from the card. So I passed again. I was like, oh, I could always open it. I'm like, no, I'm going to pass. So I left Undertaker on the peg. And we also checked Livermore Walmart on Saturday, and they did not have any of the Hasbro throwbacks.
Oh, man.
Yeah, super disappointed, dude. Finally found them, but then it was a damaged card.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, it sucked. I was very disappointed.
Did they have anything else besides any new basics or any new elites?
No, nothing noteworthy to report. But one thing I will say is that our Walmart out here in Tracy, they have discounted the elite HBK and Triple H, the WrestleMania elites, they've discounted them to $16.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they yanked them off the pegs. I was like, wow, they actually sold out of them. But then when I strolled over by the clearance section, I saw all of them stacked up over there and they were marked at $16.
Interesting.
Yeah, so the discounts might go deeper at some point if they don't move, but that's where they had ours.
Huh.
Yep, very interesting.
I didn't do Toy Spotting this week. I was still on recovery, and plus I wanted to get my strength back up to go to work this week.
Well, you know, when you're battling 106 degree fever, who feels like toy spotting?
Yes, I was on the verge of death with that 106 degree fever.
I remember. I remember the podcast last week, dude. You were hurting.
Oh, man. I was struggling to get through that, man. I know this is TMI, but I was just sitting here in a pile of sweat. And it was like cold sweat, dude. But muscled through for the listeners, for you, especially for you, Scott.
Are you going to sell the shirt as like a Game Word podcast piece of memorabilia?
No, that's disgusting.
Perhaps put it up on eBay, an official fully posable Game Worn podcasting shirt.
Would anybody actually want that?
I mean, not me personally, but you know, there's certain things that fans want. Fans like Game Worn stuff. I don't know.
Well, I'm never selling off these Cal Berkeley sweats. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, it was your sweats that were sweat soaked. Never mind, dude. That's a whole new level of swamp nobody wants.
Oh, we should move on to the news.
Yeah, moving on from the disgusting stuff. Let's talk about some news.
You didn't know?
Scott, kicking off the news this week, Ringside Collectibles has started their pre-orders for that Hogan Storm Collectibles. $35 pre-order. What you think of it?
Totally worth it. I'm definitely buying one. The only question is if I'm going to open it or not. I think with all of those killer accessories and it comes with a stand, I'm probably going to have that one opened up. We've talked about it before. I wasn't a huge fan of WCW back in the day. I didn't watch a lot of WCW, but that Hogan is so iconic, and Storm absolutely nailed that Hogan. And I know I've been reading a lot of people were upset that, you know, A, it's not Mattel. B, they can't slap the NWO on it. I'm willing to overlook that based on how good that figure looks. So I think for me, that's a definite purchase.
Yeah, I think it's a purchase for me also. The NWO logo, it's not that big of a deal. I know the details going into it. He's not going to be able to have the NWO logo due to copyright infringement. But it's still pretty good. I mean, actually, it's actually really good. Let me rephrase that. With the Hogan smirk, just all that, I think is terrific.
Yeah, and look, if you really have to have the NWO logo on there somewhere, just go buy one of the figure belts that have NWO sprayed on the front of it, stick it on the figure, done.
Exactly, and plus Jax had that NWO Hogan, so.
Yeah, exactly, and this one I think, I don't know, man, I'd have to do a side-by-side, but this one looks really, really good. I'm a huge fan of it. I love the detail on the tights and on the boots. Just a total home run. Great looking figure.
Pre-order yours at Ringside. Also, Scott, the Balor SummerSlam Elite picks were shown. with the actual figure inside, not a cardboard cutout type deal.
Yes.
What do you think of it?
Oh, dude, no brainer. Totally buying it the minute that I see it.
Yeah, the back piece looks terrific. They did a good job on the paint jobs. It's funny, I said, no, I will not be getting any Balor's that does not have the paint.
Yep.
And then ringside showed the picture of the Balor that's going to be coming out. It was of his debut. They showed the pictures this past week of that one. Because of the packaging, I think I want it.
Yeah, I'm pretty much convinced that we're going to buy all Finn Balor Elites. If I don't buy it, my wife will. So I think we're pretty much covered on Finn's for a while.
I think the packaging on that ringside exclusive is just fantastic. It's kind of like it's different. It's like a black and white photo, or not a black and white photo. It's like a black and white card. It has Finn's face on the side, very reminiscent of his debut on Raw.
Yeah, it's great all around. And let me just summarize what you're saying. You like Finn's package?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think it's fantastic.
Yes, it's a fantastic package.
It really is. I think the packaging on Finn is just awesome.
I'm really curious to see how they'll do like an Elite Austin Aries package.
Wait a second.
Wait, where were you going with that?
Are we talking about the card?
Maybe.
Oh, you got me again. Oh, you guy.
And I would have gotten through this segment if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
Also, ringside put up a ringside exclusive Samoa Joe where he's in the yellow and black trunks that he wears and NXT title. It's almost like his GameStop exclusive.
Yeah, if it's not his GameStop exclusive, it's really darn close. It's got a towel, the NXT title, and Samoa Joe in his black and yellow trunks. So it's a dead ringer for that GameStop exclusive. So if you already have that one, you can probably pass on this one.
I don't even think it's a ringside exclusive. I think they just put like a WWE exclusive tag on it or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's pretty much the GameStop exclusive.
The rest of Battle Pack 46 was also shown. And I mentioned the rest of Battle Pack 46. Scott brought up last week the Anderson and Gallows pictures being shown. Also in that series is New Day, Miz and Maurice, Dean Ambrose with a SmackDown t-shirt, along with a Shane McMahon. And one thing I liked about the Shane McMahon is he's wearing his Air Jordans.
Yeah, with the tongue, like clearly covering the front part of his pants, which I think is pretty cool. It's like, it definitely captures Shane well. But hey, let's hear it for already having an outdated figure on a set that's not even released yet.
I know,
Dean,
right?
Dean Ambrose wearing a SmackDown shirt. That's awesome. Well done.
May want to pull that one back.
Yeah, it just sucks. I feel Mattel's pain, man. They're totally out of the loop, not getting a heads up that the dude's changing brands and he's going to come out in a set and already be outdated.
It would have been better if they would have just made a Shane McMahon with Daniel Bryan, and then that would have made more sense.
Oh, a lot more sense. Absolutely. The two guys on SmackDown running the show makes way more sense.
Yep. New Day's in their blue New Day shirt with pink pants. I think New Day's in almost every set nowadays.
Yeah, but these ones actually stand out quite a bit. I read Mike the Cleaner's tweet earlier today about that set where he was pretty much going to pass on all basics or all battle packs until he saw the New Day, and it was because the colors just popped, and he's 100% right. There's just, you look at this set and just, there's just something about it, like it really pops. So if you don't have any New Day figures in your set, may want to take a look at these. They're really good. Really well done.
I'll wait till they go on sale on Amazon and I can get them for like $14.99 or something.
Yeah, or even if Ringside has like a 4th of July or a Memorial Day sale, you know, and they mark them down to like $15, something like that, would be worth taking a look.
What'd you think of the Maurice figure?
Really well done. I think that they captured her really well, which seems to be the exception to the rule with the women wrestlers and the job Mattel does with them. But I absolutely enjoy that Maurice figure. It looks really good. And I like the new head scan on Miz too. I think he looks pretty good. So that two pack is a purchase for me for sure.
You did like the new face scan?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I mean, it's not perfect, but I like it. It's something different. I see what they're doing with it.
I think it's something different in the wrong way. I even showed it to the editor today and she kind of like looked at it and was like, no, not a fan. And I'm kind of with her on that. There's just something about it I don't like.
It might be different when you see it in person.
Possibly, yeah.
instead of a picture on a computer. You know, it's always different when you see it in person. Like Chad Gable, for instance, looked meh on the computer, but then you saw him in person and you're like, oh no, yeah, this absolutely sucks.
Miz is in his black trunks. Maurice is in
a jacket?
Black jacket, black and gold jacket?
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks, it does. I do like the Maurice figure. I do like that one.
Yeah, I think it's a great face scan.
So Scott, FTC news, what you got?
I don't really have anything new to report on the FTC front, but let me just say that Chris was nice enough to send you and I some protos. We got to see some proto pictures of some upcoming releases. And let me just say, one of the ones I saw popped me big time. And I can't say who, but let me just say, it looks really, really good. And I am super excited. Can't wait until everybody gets to see it. We got the early look. It looks amazing. And once I'm able to share that with you guys, I absolutely will. But rest assured, there are some really, really good looking figures coming down the pike here for FTC.
Yeah, we want to thank Chris for kind of letting us in a little bit and seeing some protos early. I knew you were going to be excited when you saw some things today.
Yeah. To say that they nailed it is putting it mildly. Really, really well done. Thank you, Chris.
Scott, we are on to Jax Classic Series 25. Man, we're coming to the end. I'm getting sad, dude.
Yeah, we've only got a few more left.
A few more left, some more two packs, and then we got to wrap it up on Jax.
Yeah, maybe after that we go to the LJN Bendies?
We could go there. We could go to the old San Francisco Toy Makers.
Yeah, we could do that.
Pre-vibrating, where it's just the LJN style.
We're not allowed to talk about the vibrating figures anymore, dude. We already trashed them.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, we will never speak their name.
The horrible figures that those were. Scott, what do you say we hit up Jax?
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.
Scott, Jax Classic Series 25. Why don't you hit it up?
Yep. Jax Classic Series 25 consisted of Goldberg. He was in his, I guess this would be like his 1998 all black run. Big Show, who was dressed in a tarp. Big Boss Man, who was in his black riot gear outfit. You had Jesse Ventura in his announcer outfit. Bastion Booger, the figure that we didn't know we needed until they released him. Jerry and Jack Briscoe. Haku, who was in his King Haku outfit. And LJN throwback in this series was Jeff Hardy.
That Jeff Hardy was amazing. That was a great Jeff Hardy.
It's so good. And you have that one signed, right?
I do.
It's such an outstanding figure. So good, in fact, that I never even saw it on the shelves.
Yeah, I got lucky and found it on the shelves. When it was announced that they were going to do an LJN throwback Jeff Hardy, I kind of chalked it up and was like, nope, not going to get it because I'm not going to be able to find it.
Yeah.
Luckily, I went to KB Toys on a Saturday night and boom, it was sitting right there.
Man, you lucked out big time. I've never even seen that one on the pegs ever. And I was out frequently toy hunting and I never saw that one. Had I seen it, I definitely would have bought it.
What was your favorite figure out of this?
I mean, obviously the LJN Jeff Hardy was the best looking figure in this set, but you know, I got to give a lot of props. The Goldberg figure, you know, admittedly not a Goldberg fan, but I thought, you know, for what he was, which is a pretty basic looking dude, I thought that they nailed Goldberg. They did a really good job on him. And the other good one that I liked was Jesse Ventura in his announcer outfit. I thought that they nailed him. He looked great. We had talked a few episodes back. They had released another Jesse Ventura. And I said that they kind of dropped the ball. They could have done more with it. Well, they turned it around in this series and they did a great job on this one. He had leopard boots on. Come on. That's awesome.
Yeah, the Ventura was great. I got to disagree with you on the Goldberg figure. I didn't like the face on it. I wasn't too thrilled with that one.
Huh. Okay.
I didn't think it captured Goldberg well.
Okay.
I'm not sure why, because they had done some previous like Ruthless Aggression line Goldbergs.
And those were always so well done.
Yeah, I thought those were always well done. This one I just did not like. I didn't like the face on it. I didn't like the body build on it. I just wasn't a fan. The figure that was awful was the Big Show Paul White one.
Yes, I'm not sure what they were going for with that, but they missed. I mean, the face scan is okay, But the clothing is just god awful. I mean, a super, super baggy black shirt and some baggy black. Like I said, it looks like he's wearing a tarp. You know, baggy yes. black pants, baggy black shirt, just awful looking. Did not look great inside the packaging either. So that was a huge miss for me. If I had to pick a favorite, definitely the LJ and Jeff Hardy, followed by Goldberg, who I thought looked okay, and announcer Jesse Ventura.
I want to give some love to the King Haku figure. I thought that was actually a really good figure.
Yeah, no, the Haku was excellent. Yeah, that was a really well done figure in this set. Same for the Briscoes. I mean, they looked fine. Really cool to get some Briscoe throwback figures in there. But Bastion Booger.
Ugh. That figure I saw all the time on the shelves.
Yeah, well, I mean, who even really knew who he was? He had a cup of coffee in WWF and nobody even really knew who he was then. And just, oh my gosh, just I'm not a fan of that figure, to say the least. Not a fan of the gimmick, not a fan of the figure.
One thing you brought up about the Jack and Jerry Briscoe, or you brought up the Jack and Jerry Briscoe figure. You know what they kind of reminded me of? The way they were styled, they were like AWA figures.
Agree. That's a great point.
They were just red tights, black, was it black boots? I think it was.
Yeah, red trunks, black boots. It was like the Larry Zbysko.
That was one thing I remember when I saw them on the pegs. I was like, these kind of resemble AWA, just a little bit bigger.
Yeah, that's a great point. I didn't even think about it until you just said it. But yeah, absolutely. You could, if they were a little bit smaller, you could actually kind of throw them in with those figures and have a little battle royal with them.
Yep, take on the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
Scott, we are back to your surprise question this week.
You know, or Hail Mary here. We could go back into a round of 64.
No, I need a break from the round of 64.
Oh. Okay.
Scott, let's hit your surprise question. Scott, it is time for your surprise question. It is back. It's better than ever.
My favorite segment.
It is your favorite segment.
No, it's not.
We do want to thank Pollyanna for making the Macho Defining Moment pin. Please head on over to Pollyanna DIY. Check out all their pins, their Hasbro pins that we love so much that we talk about every week.
Yeah, give them a follow and you'll stay updated as to when that pin's going to be released.
Yeah, they've got some new ones coming up that I'm super stoked for.
Yeah, the entire Hasbro line that he's done so far is just amazing. So give him a follow, man. He's got good stuff over there.
Thank you, Jacob, for help sponsoring the round of 64. Scott, your surprise question. It's pretty simple this week.
Simple? I like those.
Yes. Scott, tell us some of your favorite funny moments in WWE history.
Fun.
Or actually, if you want, you can also throw in WCW.
Funny.
Or ECW, too.
Mm. Funny moments.
Yes.
Jeez, you put me on the spot here. I mean, nothing in particular, but the back and forths between Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan, be it in the broadcast booth, be it on primetime wrestling, those guys had such a rapport and they would just keep you laughing. Same with Gorilla and Jesse Ventura. Like, Gorilla always had good comebacks. You know, he wouldn't just take it, but the way Heenan and Ventura would riff off of Gorilla, just hilarious, just always entertaining. And I think those are some of the funniest moments that I've, even going back and listening, they just have the most hilarious lines. Heenan was so quick. Gosh, funny moments. You know, when I was a kid, when Junkyard Dog or somebody would catch Jimmy Hart trying to escape and they would rip his pants off. Like, when I was a kid, that was hilarious. But now as an adult, I go back and watch it. And I'm like, wait, why is that grown man taking that other grown man's pants off? This doesn't seem okay to me. But when I was a kid, it was hilarious. I thought it was great. Man, other funny stuff. CM Punk's pipe bomb promo.
That was funny.
Some of it. The Hi Colt.
Oh, that was great.
That was hilarious. Cena proposing to Nikki in the middle of the ring at this year's WrestleMania. Hilarious.
The best was, I don't know if you guys could hear it on over the broadcast, but people were chanting delete and no.
That's very appropriate.
They were chanting like "She'll never be there for you" or something like that. It was weird, dude. But it was hilarious, dude. The fans were hella funny during that. I don't know if it came across on the broadcast.
No, I didn't catch that at all. I mean, The Rock and Jonathan Coachman.
Oh, they had some good back and forth.
That went on for years. The Rock and Hurricane too.
Yes.
I mean, just outstanding stuff. But really, dude, Kurt Angle wearing a little cowboy hat and playing a guitar, or Austin playing guitar, just absolutely hilarious. I would have to say that those are probably the funniest moments that I've experienced in wrestling, but I probably laughed the hardest at Edge and Christian and Kurt Angle with the way they would riff off of each other. That was just so great. When Edge has the cards and Kurt Angle's reading them and he's got the stuff written on the back. And then, of course, Jericho and Christian when they came out with the ass cream.
Yes.
Come on. That's gold. So, yeah, I think those are some of my funniest moments in wrestling.
I have to say Jericho's 1,004 holds.
Oh, outstanding.
Oh, I could not stop rolling over that one, dude.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And one I do have to bring up, a little family history. Our great aunt suffered from dementia, and our parents or the benefactors took care of her while she had the dementia. Well, our great aunt used to sit downstairs and we would watch the pay-per-views downstairs with her. One that I can never forget because it even had her, and I believe she was 78 at the time, with dementia. When Mae Young stripped at the Royal Rumble 2000.
Oh, gosh.
And even Auntie started laughing hysterically. And to hear her, because you never heard her laugh much.
Yeah.
So when you heard her start laughing at Mae Young, this other 78, 80-year-old lady, start stripping, oh, dude, that one had me going because of just of Auntie's reaction.
They popped Auntie. They did a great job.
Seriously, that was another one. Mae Young's hand. That one was just kind of like, that's so stupid, but it was funny.
To me, that wasn't funny. That was just gross.
Oh, it was gross. Don't get me wrong, but it still was funny. Like, it was so off the wall. Like, a hand. I don't know. That one still kind of popped me that time.
You know, I'm just thinking, too, they never really had any Mae Young merch. Why didn't they ever just release a foam hand that said Mae Young on it? Everybody would have gotten what that was.
Yeah, everybody loves foam hands.
Right.
Yeah, good call, dude. I don't know.
A foam hand that just said Mae Young. Like, we would have gotten the joke. Could have released it.
I agree with you. Austin and Angle, a lot of their stuff with Vince.
So good. And I mean, you're not even talking about the beer trucks and the milk truck, just the backstage stuff where they were playing music and the way Austin would get disgusted with Angle. It's just so funny.
There's so many funny moments. There's also some that were captured on a DVD, and it was basically called WWE's Funniest Moments. And there was one where The Rock was doing his spiel on SmackDown. And he said, remember how he used to like pull his chin down, turn his chin to the side,
yes,
raise the eyebrow? Well, his head snapped down and the glasses came off and he was cutting a promo on Mankind. And so he brings his head down, his glasses fall off. He looks down at him and they just kind of stand there. And the crowd is laughing. So Mankind kind of waddles over and picks up the glasses and hands them back to The Rock. And Rock goes, "The Rock thanks you."
The Rock was so good.
Yeah, The Rock had many good ones with Coach. Just a lot of people in the ring.
Yeah, he had great stuff with Hurricane too. And Christian.
So I thought I'd ask what some of your favorite funniest moments are.
You know, outside of wrestling, I think Kevin Owens' Twitter is hilarious.
It's gold.
Yeah, outside of the ring, like, you know, in the real world realm, the way he riffs on fans is so great. I mean, he shreds people on Twitter, and I love it. You come at him like an idiot, he is going to call you out and embarrass you in front of everybody and probably cause you to delete your Twitter.
He's actually caused some people to delete their Twitter.
Well, at least delete the tweet and not look like a dumbass.
No one is safe either.
No, dude. No. You got to be cool, man. You got to be cool because Kevin Owens will shred you.
Like if you send a tweet to him, you got to make sure it's like super nice or... Actually, I don't even know if that's safe.
Yeah, not really. I mean, I asked him to wish you a happy birthday. And I was like, Uh-oh. Is she going to rip me apart for this? Am I going to have to delete my Twitter and run to another country?
We're scared to send tweets.
Yeah. I don't want to get embarrassed.
Scott, this week we are going to do Who Booked This? I think a lot of fans are going to like this one.
I think so.
What do you say we get into it? Scott, before we get into Who Booked This, one other one that I got to bring up from the last segment that always cracked me up was Jericho and Ralphus in WCW.
Oh, yeah. There's your WCW humor. Those guys were really good together.
Notice how most of the humor came from Jericho.
Yeah, exactly. That dude is just naturally hilarious.
Scott, we did receive an email, fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. It comes from a gentleman from Toronto, Canada. His name is Aaron. He said, "Hi guys, I recently discovered your podcast through Twitter and decided to give it a listen. I was completely blown away. You guys do an awesome job. I'm most impressed by how knowledgeable you guys are on wrestling figures from various different eras. I've listened to 4 of your podcasts in the last 24 hours and will slowly get caught up on the other episodes. I've been a lifelong wrestling figure collector. I grew up latter end of the LJNs and into the Hasbro lines. I was a dedicated Jax collector, and I have transitioned into Mattels. Living in Canada, distribution isn't always great, but thanks to online shopping and the fact that I'm in Toronto, I can always drive the 90 minutes to Buffalo to hunt for figures. I had a question for you guys. Throughout the years, we've seen prototypes of figures that were never made. The Hasbro Orange card figures, Mattel's Gobbledygooker, Jax, Juventud Guerrero, and more. In your opinion, what is the best prototype we've seen that was never produced? In my opinion, it's the Jax Linda McMahon. Lastly, I wanted to give you my top 5 Mattel figures. First, let's answer the question first. I think we kind of answered this before with the orange card.
Yeah.
Being the one series, and actually LJNs. One other one that I was thinking about, that figures that were never released. What about the Galoobs with Ricky Morton?
Yeah, and those were outstanding. That was, I believe, Diamond Stud, PN News, Ricky Morton, and Michael Hayes in a robe. And just the resin prototypes looked outstanding. And that's the bad part, is that Galoob was starting to get better. Their offerings were getting really good, and the figures just looked outstanding. And unfortunately, we just never even saw them over here. Those were some excellent prototypes as well. You're absolutely correct.
Those were perfectly done. Like Mike the Cleaner was talking about the New Day having that color, that pop that just you kind of gravitate to. What about right. The PN News prototype? That was a very colorful figure. I know it was PN News, but I mean, still.
The pose wasn't the greatest on it. And it never did see the light of day, but man, what a good looking figure. The Diamond Stud was outstanding. And it's just unfortunate they never got to release those. Just bad timing all around on that Galoob set. And that's kind of what killed it. But yeah, those were outstanding prototypes. And the orange card Hasbros. And, you know, I would love to know if LJN ever had prototypes done of that rumored last series.
I don't know if it wouldn't have been LJN, because it was the... It switched over to, what was the group's name that took over for LJN in Canada?
Oh, right. We talked about it on one of our episodes. I can't remember the name of that distributor that took them over.
Oh, that's going to drive me nuts, man.
Yeah, it's on a previous episode, too. We'd have to go back and look it up. But yeah, there was another distributor that took it over, but there was a rumored series, and I'm just wondering if there were any mock-ups done, man. I would love to see them.
I cannot find them. I've been doing Google searches for years on that, and I still cannot find it.
Yeah, I have too, and the best I've been able to turn up is that orange card Hasbro.
Yeah, exactly. Aaron's top 5. Number 5, defining moment, Crow Sting.
Excellent.
Number 4, defining moment, Warrior from WrestleMania 7. Number 3, the ringside exclusive, Bret Hart, where he was kind of in, when he had those shades, black jacket.
Yep.
Number 2, defining moment, Razor. And number 1, Elite 41, Finn Balor. He says, "Keep up the great work you guys are doing, Aaron in Toronto."
Thank you, Aaron. We appreciate the email. Great top 5, too.
Yes, thank you very much, Aaron. We appreciate the email. Scott, we're going to do Who Booked This week. And these figures definitely deserve this their own segment.
Yeah, speaking of drenched sweats...
This week we are going to do the Maximum Sweat. These figures were horrible.
Yes.
Maximum Sweat was done by Jax back in 98, 99, I believe.
Yeah, late 90s. I think it went like four series.
Now, to kind of give you an idea, these figures came with like a little mini water bottle that you would plug into its back, was it? Their neck, their back?
Yeah, like in their neck, back area, and you would fill the figure with water.
Yeah, and then these guys would, or these wrestlers, would pretend to sweat. One of the things that they were originally had in the works was that it was supposed to be blood.
Yep.
At least that's what we've been told. We don't know if it's 100% true, but one of the things that we've been told was that it was originally supposed to be blood. When the blood got nixed, or whatever they were going to use for blood, they weren't actually use guys' actual blood. they decided to make these guys sweat. Because for some reason, they felt that these guys needed to sweat.
Yeah, we're as baffled as you guys are. Like, why? Why do we need to have a guy that sweats? Now, if they were originally intended to bleed, that makes way more sense. But again, when you're marketing your toys to children, a bleeding action figure isn't the best thing. So I guess the sweat option made more sense. But if you have a chance, just open up Google real quick, type in WWF or WWE Maximum Sweat Jax, and you'll see the line. These things were about maybe a little bit taller than your average Jax wrestling figure, or maybe about the same height, but they were super, super yoked, like Jinder Mahal yoked, but like times 10, like just super muscled, out of proportion, completely out of proportion. And like Jeff said, they came with a little bottle that you inserted in the back of their neck or in their back and filled it with water. And I can't remember if you like pressed on their head or you like you moved their arms, but they would sweat, like just the water would start to come out of an opening or several openings on the figure. And it just made them look like they were sweating. Just I think the first series I bought the New Age Outlaws because I loved the New Age Outlaws in the late 90s. So I had to have those and I'm pretty sure I bought those. And I might have bought in Triple H as well, but I definitely stopped after that. I didn't buy any more Maximum Sweats, but they weren't very well done. The face sculpts weren't great.
No.
The over-exaggeration of the body types and the muscles was just too much. And on top of that, they sweat. Like this whole line was just a confusing miss for me. Probably not as bad as the magnet flips that WCW had.
The grip and flips?
The grip and flips, but this one was pretty bad.
These were terrible, man. The face on them was just way over the top. I remember if you took off Kane's mask.
Yes.
I remember he was the Undertaker.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, well, it was an Undertaker face. At least that's what I thought it was, because the faces were so poorly done on these.
Yeah, they weren't great. Like, you go back and look at the Big Show one.
Oh, the Big Show one was terrible.
Horrible. And even Billy Gunn and the Road Dogg. Like, the Road Dogg one is really bad. I still had to buy it because it was New Age Outlaws. But then when I opened it and put it on my shelf, I'm like, okay, that was a waste of $8. Like, why did I buy this? I'm buying way too many crappy action figures.
If I had to say one was good, I would probably say the Gangrel was probably the best.
Yes. Okay. So Gangrel is the other one I purchased. It was not Triple H. It was Gangrel. Which is the finest piece of crap out of this bunch? And it happened to be Gangrel.
Yeah. Gangrel was good. Edge was actually also up there. But other than that, these were terrible. The Austin was terrible. I got to say that the Big Show was the most hideous thing I think I've ever seen.
Yeah. Check out the Road Dogg too. That one was a huge miss. Aside from his pants and his DX shirt, I didn't know who that was.
Yeah, these were just absolutely terrible. I'm not sure what you can find them on eBay for. Probably like $2.
Yeah, and if it's any more than that, you're getting ripped off. This is just this whole series is just, again, these lines put out so many action figures that they start to throw out the gimmick series. And Mattel's been guilty of it too. And this was Jack's huge miss, was Maximum Sweat. Just a huge pass all around on this line. Just really bad.
Yeah, Jack's actually had quite a few misses that we've brought up numerous times. You just kind of question what the hell they were thinking and on a lot of stuff, and like the scuba gear line, and
yeah, the Stomp series.
The Stomp series. Oh, so bad, dude.
Yeah, but again, I mean, Jax was around for like 14 years. So when you've been around that long and you're doing the same type of figures, you want to give your customers some variety. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think you stick with what brought you to the show. But they had to go and make these alternate lines, and Maximum Sweat just... man, I would love to talk to the guy whose idea this was. You know, if he's not dead from like a crack overdose.
He's going into the board meeting. Guys, I've got it. Moneymaker right here.
Yeah, these action figures are going to be completely roided out, and they're going to sweat. And they'll look nothing like the guy they're supposed to be. What do you think?
Kane is going to look exactly like Undertaker. Perfect.
Yeah.
Why aren't you putting this on the board? I don't get it.
Yeah. Come on, guys. $1 million idea.
We're going to sell them at KB Toys for $6.99, and then they're going to red marker them down to $4.99.
Yeah. 50 cents each.
They're going in the clearance bin. This is perfect.
Yeah, 10 for $2. Gosh. Oh.
Yeah, I remember Jax kind of started to get away from their basic line. Like, we've always had the normal line. It was LGN Series 1, LGN Series 2. You know, it kind of stuck to a formula. Hasbro did the same thing. Galoobs did the same thing also.
But Hasbro did break out, and they did those minifigures.
Minifigures?
Yes, Hasbro released those minifigures. They weren't poseable at all. There was no articulation to them.
Oh, I know which ones you're talking about, yes.
So even Hasbro branched out a little bit, and Hasbro also put out the large scale, the Ultimate Warrior, the Hulk Hogan.
You are right. So did LJN. They had
broke out with the Bendies, and they put out the large scale Hogan and Piper. But those made sense.
Yeah, but they didn't break away from character. Like, Hogan was a 14-inch LJN movable figure. That's all it was.
And they only did two of them. They only made Hogan and they only made Piper. Those were the two biggest guys at the time.
Right.
And they made no more after that. As much as I would have loved to have a Randy Savage, they only made Hogan and they only made Piper. And both of those guys made sense, and they were really well done.
Correct.
The entire Bendy line made sense, too.
It did.
You know, a smaller scale, but they were just whereas the big rubber LJNs, you couldn't move them. These were completely bendable. You could bend them however you wanted to. That made sense. I wasn't too sure on the smaller scale Hasbros, how those really made sense. I didn't really care for those too much. I thought those were a miss as well. Mm-hmm. You know, but their large scale figures were great. They talked. I thought that was cool, and it actually sounded like them. So there always have been kind of straying from your main lines. And I guess that's okay. You know, trying to dip your foot in some other water, I guess, you know, give it a shot, see how it is. But I've just never been a huge fan of that.
But LJN and Hasbro, at least they made figures that look like the actual guys. They didn't throw them into scuba gear. They didn't throw them into a Stomp series. They didn't throw them into sweating.
Yeah, none of those figures sweated, that's for sure.
They didn't break away like, okay, we're putting these guys in army fatigue, go. You know, they mainly stuck to, okay, we're going to take our Hasbros and we're going to make a smaller bendable version. Or we're going to take our LJNs and make a smaller bendable version. That kind of makes sense. Where they threw them into, where Jack started throwing them into scuba gear and army fatigue and all this stuff, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, ill-advised for sure.
Yeah, swing and miss.
And that's why we're here to talk about the crap.
Yes. Who booked this?
Who booked this crap?
You make sure you head on over to whatamaneuver.net. You especially. Head on over there.
All right, I'm going now.
Okay, perfect. Head on over to their factory, pick up a couple t-shirts.
I'm out of here.
Taking tomorrow off. I'm heading to their factory. Pick up a couple of t-shirts, whatamaneuver.net. Fully Poseable goes retro t-shirts. I've got some other ideas for that'd be cool if we can get figures of us.
We will do figures of us one of these days.
Actually, I want to talk to you about some more designs for upcoming t-shirts.
Sweet.
So make sure you head on over to whatamaneuver.net, pick up the original Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. And again, like Aaron did from Toronto, you can email us any questions, comments, wish lists, fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. I'm actually surprised we haven't gotten any wish lists for Hardy figures.
Yeah, that is kind of surprising. Now watch, all of a sudden next week, you're going to get like 30 of them.
Yes, we need Jeff Hardy. We need our 90th Jeff Hardy.
I think it's safe to assume we're about 4 months away from getting a crap ton of Hardy figures.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
And you know what? I'm going to be getting them, too.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me I made the list.
Well, that, too.
Darn it.
So, Scott, for episode 65, anything else?
Yes, brother, I'm happy that you're over the 107 degree fever that you were running.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you.
And happy toy hunting.
Yes, that 109 degree fever wiped me the F out.
Yeah, and it climbs quick too, man. It's like Hulkamania. It was running wild.
Oh, seriously, dude. I was up to 111, man. I was near death. So, Scott, for episode 65, #FigLife, adios.